You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need a lot of shine. Smoky in the air, that's a lot of prime.
Welcome to episode 402 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Primo, aka Prime, in the building. And today, talking about someone else's Super Bowl. Perhaps you might have heard the 49ers and the Chiefs are playing. We're talking about the Eagles going to Brazil, and we got some new coaches in the nest, and some that have left the nest. But it's been a couple weeks since we chatted up. I mean, our last podcast together was very somber. I think we're all in our feels. I think some Radiohead may have been playing in the background or something emo. But I feel like we could reflect on the time the Eagles went to the Super Bowl last year. Like we were preparing for a 300 plus party at the Hard Rock, yeah, which was also a sad moment because the Eagles lost to the Chiefs. Overall, I mean, how are you guys feeling? How have you guys been the last couple of weeks?
I mean, if it's any consolation, I was able to get over the Eagles' end of season a lot easier this year than I was last year, because for me, the writing was on the wall. The last like month and a half of the season, we kind of all felt which direction this Eagles team was heading in. There's been a lot of Eagles that have been talking on Radio Row and all these interviews during the Super Bowl talking about how things kind of fell apart. And we all saw it ourselves with our own eyeballs. So, when we lost that Super Bowl, if we were going down memory lane there, that one hurt. That one dug deep right here, man, when we lost that Super Bowl. As I feel about this Eagles team that season just ended, I'm completely over it, man. It is what it is. I'm on to the next thing. We got, let's pray that Joel's knee is good to go. And, we got Phillies baseball starting up soon, but it is what it is, birds. It's more of the same.
I wish I could feel the same way you feel, Evan, but I'm going to be, honest, man. The one thing I could just tell you is that it's been nice and relaxing for the past month. Been catching up with a lot of stuff, a lot of sleep. A lot of activities with my kids, my wife. Shout out to Autumn for putting up with that season that
we just went through. Autumn the goat.
Yeah. But besides all that, I got one more game, man. This Sunday. Once this game is over, and then it's onto the next season. I can't sit here and tell you that I completely forgot about it, and it definitely doesn't help with all the talk that's been going on this past couple of days leading up to the big game on Sunday. They're starting to bring back stuff that I try to put behind me as well, but when it keeps being brought back up, it's kind of hard to forget. So that's just me being honest with you guys. It's rough. It definitely is rough. But hey, look, I'm with you. I'm ready to move on, but I'm just not there yet. So I'm ready to get to that point. And you know, if you guys haven't noticed, I'm all about making changes. I've made changes down here, ready to go. Started, you know, I'm starting fresh. So
still looks Sunday, like an Eagles cave to me.
Yeah, but I mean, different spot, moved some things around, added a few things.
Took some people down.
Took some people down, stuff like that. Yeah.
Is number 11 still above you?
He's still he's not at all. Yeah, man, I'm ready to, you know what I mean, start from fresh and you know, get on with the new season. We got a new OC, new DC, you know, so ready to get to work and see what these guys are all about and definitely redeem ourselves from the stupidity that we just, you know, went through this past season. So, you know, ready to get back to work.
Now it is what it is. Like, as much as it sucks to see you know, our team not in it, they gave up a great performance in the first half of the season. There's things that we talked about on this pod about, you know, like some nuggets of information that we got about from a player who said that all the coaches had to go. You know, as we're seeing, there are a lot of coaches going out the door. But just listening to a lot of the guys on Super Bowl Media Row, they kind of give you like a little peek behind the curtain with the way they're being very transparent. You heard Lane Johnson talk about the 49ers in my opening to our last podcast. I said week 13, the Eagles got punched in the mouth and they never recovered. It's pretty apparent now that the players are saying it, that they didn't have a plan after that. And then Lane is very, like, when he says it, he just is like, this is what it is. You know, I know he said he didn't like the way that they handled things down the road. What did you guys think of Lane's talk?
To be honest, I kind of am all for all of the guys that have kind of come out and said something, whether it be Lane, whether it be Britton Covet. Like, I appreciate as a fan the transparency and just kind of validating what we were all thinking. It's when we when Nick Bosa had those comments after the Eagles game talking about how, you know, they were the ones that kind of exposed you know, the Eagles game plan and their scheme and all that. We kind of sat here like, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Like, you guys got lucky. But to have the Eagles, you know, one of the core four guys kind of validate that that's exactly what happened. And with more time that passed in the season, that's what it felt like as well. I appreciate the transparency at the very least. I don't like that's what happened, but I'm glad at the very least that they're able to call a spade a spade and recognize that, you know, they were found out. And the thing that bothers me the most is that I'm curious with everybody in the chat as well. Like, where are our heads right now with sticking with Sirianni? Because there's been a lot of players that have come out. I'm not saying they're the players are coming out in an anti-Sirianni way, but they're coming out in a very clear, you know, we were found out and we made no adjustments whatsoever. To me, that falls on the head coach. So,
I definitely go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that statement that we were always told when we were kids and you know, leading into our livelihoods, but the truth hurts, man. And that's just the thing, the truth that's been coming out this past week from our players, key players, you know, sideline players, whatever. The truth is just what's hurting right now. Knowing that what transpired in that locker room, knowing that ever since that 49ers game, these guys fell apart and they were never able to go ahead and recover from that. It sucks, you know, and definitely sucks even more knowing that it's coming from somebody we, you know, from a team that we despised going into last season. So, you know, the fact that they were the ones that, you know, pretty much were the reason for our downfall playing wise, it bothers the shit out of me. And that's why it's kind of hard to kind of like get over, you know, this season. And because they're still playing, still got to see their asses and they're in the big game. So, you know, that's just me. You know what I mean? That's just me speaking on my behalf, like why it bothers me so much. But it is what it is, man. And, you know, I don't know, Ev, like to touch upon the whole Nick Sirianni thing, like it's an up and down situation. And again, I'm just speaking on my behalf. The guy has led us to, you know, good seasons, playoffs and all that stuff. And, you know, he's done a couple things that, you know, other wonderful coaches that have coached this team have not been able to do. So it's mixed emotions. But all I can say is that, you know, truthfully sitting here and telling you that we got to go into next season, putting that all behind us and seeing what this man is really all about, because the changes have been made. And now I am going to just say, going into the 24-25 season, there's no excuses, no excuses. So we'll see what happens. I mean, again, I just want to make it clear that that's just me speaking on my behalf.
I think Sirianni has the target is on his fully on his back, because he's one of the, you know, besides Stoutland, they're still trying to figure out some things with the coaching staff. But it's a lot of new pieces in here. Obviously, he's tied at the hip with Howie. So I believe it's the Trinity with Howie and Lurie by his side. And they're guiding him along this way. So I feel like he's definitely on the hot seat, says Todd. So, I mean, I feel that. But I definitely think, you know, to get back to playing Super Bowl caliber football, it's going to take the players in the locker room to gel and really, you know, bring it together. Now, if you listen to Britton Covey and his Super Bowl media row interview, he was very transparent. And some of the fans, like Mercer was talking about, why are they dragging Covey? They wanted some insight now. People are complaining about that. You know, basically, to sum it up, he was pretty much, you know, he was saying that you can't blame one specific person, but it's pretty much the totality of the group. And but the one thing that was weird to me when he was saying that the outside noise taking, you know, a different tone in the locker room, like if the way they were feeding into the outside noise. Now, what kind of outside noise was that, and what specifically hit them in the heart, where I don't know where it was coming from? Was it the media? Obviously, the media will always drag some shit up. The stuff right before the playoffs, it's always the media thing. But what would you guys think about Britton Covey?
I think that there's a lot of people out here that want to be mad at Britton Covey simply because he is a punt returner and he had something to say. But it falls in the same sort of realm of what I just said about Lane Johnson. It's a player that's within the locker room and he's being open and transparent about what happened. I think that everybody that is a part of that gets a right to share their opinion. So people that are upset with Britton Covey, but in the other hand, you know, thankful that Lane Johnson is saying what he's saying, it's kind of hypocritical to me.
Yeah. The fact that Britton Covey is, you know, just speaking on it and they're going after somebody like, you know, him, I don't know. It's, you know, I'm not mad at the kid for speaking his mind. He ain't say nothing bad. He ain't say nothing good. I mean, he just pretty much spoke on what he knows and, you know, I mean, try to keep it as you know, to the point as much as possible. And, you know, he kept it plain, quick, simple when asked the question. So the way, you know, the fans, you know, the people on social media, these reporters, the way they're attacking the whole situation, I think they're out to make it more bigger than what they have to. But, you know, and they're trying to still kind of like, you know, egg him on to get something else out of him. And I don't think there's anything else to tell. I think he's told everything that he needed to tell. So I don't know how far they're trying to go with this situation, but, you know, I just wish they would just leave it alone and just let us get on with, you know, regrouping and recovering what we have to do and be better, you know, this upcoming season.
Breaking news, AJ Brown just posted something on Instagram and then he just took it down. No, I'm just kidding. that's the kind of level, that's the level of reporting we're getting these days in terms of, you know, that's just what it is. It's just what it is. You know, there's this other news. We're going to get to Super Bowl talk in a few, but there's been some other breaking news. You know, Quinn asked the dying question here, y'all hitting Brazil, the Eagles. I don't know if it's a gift or a curse. I don't know how you, it could be a curse to your bank account, but the Eagles are going to Brazil, September 6th, 2024. The Birds takeover in Brazil is happening. Check out Philly Sports Trips. They're taking a deposit only. There'll be more details on that. So if you guys are looking to go to Brazil, I know some people are crazy in the chat Evan's got Frugal Gang face written all over his face.
Listen, I am all for going to Brazil, but it like I'm not letting a little secret out. I hope someone from my company is watching this shit. I'm looking for a new job by summer. So if I start making some more paper, that'd be nice. But the way that my bank account is currently set up, Brazil isn't in the plans.
Reckless guy. This guy's reckless.
I don't give a shit. Fuck
this guy. This guy. Hey, we gotta have a talk with Ev. But I mean, how do you feel, Primo?
You know, I'm not even going to get on this subject as of yet. I'm not ready to even talk about Brazil. But, you know, it's an honor. It's an honor that they gave the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, another situation I had mixed emotions about, you know, the last time Brazil is no joke. It's a crazy, crazy country. They are well known for, you know, soccer and everything. And they're dedicated fans when it comes to that sport. Outside sports doesn't really go well. I mean, they're known for not very, you know, going very well with outside sports. So I don't know, man. I think it's good financially for the country, but other than that, it's a risk.
Y'all ever play on Favela on Call of Duty?
it's that, but I mean, you think about the what was it, the Olympics or, you know, one of the,
yeah,
it was there,
Rio.
Yeah, it was there. You know, shit went crazy. And then, you know, you saw the stories after the, you know, the Rio Olympics, and you see the shit that transpired while it was going on, after it went on. So it's just like, I don't know, man.
Counterpoint.
He sounds
the beaches.
I was watching a lot of vlogs on Sao Paulo yesterday, and people who live there, and I was getting, you know, different, you know, just getting intel because I got to do my intel on Rio now. Like I said on Twitter, I wasn't prepared for this.
Nobody was.
how many Philadelphians from the Northeast are going to be pronouncing that city as Sao Paulo Antonio?
That's gonna be the escape goat for sure.
The birds are going to Sao Paulo Antonio, Brazil.
All I know is they better have a fucking cheesesteak down there. That's, you know, like, they don't even have a fucking good cheesesteak down there.
Nah, bro. No, I don't even know about that one.
I don't know. Well, maybe a cheesesteak with, how do you make a Brazilian cheesesteak? What would that consist of?
I know that the Brazilians have their steakhouses throughout Philadelphia. So, I mean, you know.
I love a Brazilian steakhouse.
So do I.
I go to Fernandez. If you're in Newark area, Fernandez, it's so good. Come out with the sword, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but food talk very early in the pod. But so round of hands, who wants to go to Brazil? Raise your hand.
I mean, want to or?
Yeah, want to.
Want to, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just want to get a gauge, you know, get a gauge. Shout out to Trox. He says, if the players gave up on coaches, and that's the head coach's job, Brazil, he says he has a peach emoji, eye emoji, and a shade emoji. he says, hope the Chiefs embarrass the Whiners. Love you too, Trox. I don't know. I think it's great for the brand of the sport in the NFL. Like, we're one of the first games to be played in South America.
The first game to be played in South America, right?
So that's pretty cool. There are Brazilian Eagles podcasts. They've already reached out. They said they can't wait for a 4th and John tailgate in Brazil. I'd like to see that happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but maybe Evan can dress up in some Brazilian garb.
Yeah, buddy.
Make cheesesteaks.
Yeah. I can get down with that. Coconuts or something.
Lowski playing some Brazilian beats. I don't know how that works. We'll see. But talking about the Super Bowl game. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are we pumped up for this game? I'm usually pumped up for the Super Bowl every year. I'm not gonna lie, this will be the first year that I'm kind of in my feels. I'm not really pumped up about Super Bowl.
I'm not in my feels. I will say that I'm definitely rooting for the Chiefs over the Niners. Like, that's not even a question. But like, if you're asking me my excitement level for this game, it is much lower than other previous years. Probably around the same excitement level as I had for the Patriots Rams Super Bowl immediately after the Eagles ones. Like, I just didn't care really. So I would say I'm sitting at like a 6 out of 10 as far as excitement. It's still, wow. It's still the Super Bowl, man. It's still the Super Bowl. Like, I'm still excited to see it. And I'm not sure if you guys or anybody else in the chat has had this thought as well, but like it clicked for me just last Saturday, where I was like, you know, I do this every single year where I'm sitting here. I'm like, the season just goes by so fast, because I remember like week one like it was yesterday, and then you're thinking in week one, you're like, all right, we got the whole season ahead of us. And last Saturday I was sitting there, I was like, we got one game left, and then it's just a long drought until September. So I had that thought. That's why I'm sitting at a 6. I still got one game of football to watch.
Nah, I mean, I'm good, man. I'm at a 1. I mean, my bad, I'm sorry, I'm at a 1. The hell with both those teams. I mean, I'm going for the Chiefs too. The last time I felt like this was probably the Giants Patriots game, the whole Tyreek bubblegum catch game. You know, didn't want to see either one of those teams win, but somebody had to win, and you know, it was the Giants. So but yeah, that's where I'm at. I got invited to my brother-in-law's to see the game, and I think this will probably be the one time I'm gonna go all out and maybe play around with the kids while everybody else watches football. I'm not really beat for this one, man. It is what it is. I mean, I ended up getting into some football pools just, you know, for shits and giggles, but you know, we'll see what happens. Other than that, I don't know. I haven't really been into football, you know, so I'm good. it started way earlier than me for me.
Dalton asked, does Brazil have Hearn's cheesesteaks though?
They don't, not yet.
Shout out to the 302 podcast. I mean, you're gonna have to put some seasoning on, because they might step to your grill. I'm like, hey, might have to flavor that up.
Oh, they're gonna have the flavor for you. They'll walk up with the flavor.
But yes, everyone would do their research on YouTube and figure out some things if it's the place to be in Brazil. Yeah, I mean, just think about it. Years from now, you'd be like, that time we went to Brazil though. And watch the Eagles game. And someone asked me, like, yo, what if we lose? I'm like, I don't even think that way, first of all. But second of all, just think about, this is your yearly vacation, and you're taking it to Brazil. And there happens to be an Eagles game.
I've always wanted to go to Brazil. And to be honest, I mean, while we're on the topic, if it's travel by Philly Sports Trips, I mean, I've never had a bad Philly Sports Trips trip. They do it upright. So I trust my man Vince.
Jeez. Now, you know, I'm thinking about the Super Bowl. I've kind of like morphed my fandom into rooting for Uncle Andy and the Chiefs. I can get down with the Kelce brother on that team, because I feel like he's a Hall of Fame talent. I can get down with Mama Kelce being there and what she brings to the table. I like Pacheco. I like my coworker's cousin is Snead, who we could use a cornerback. There's a lot of rooting points for the Chiefs, but that's just me. What say you?
I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat. If I'm being completely real with you, I'm going to say something that probably is going to piss some people off. Get used to it.
It's what we do.
Dude, I really don't. I understand why people get upset with Pat Mahomes as far as like him complaining about calls and stuff, but I don't hate Pat Mahomes. Like, I don't sit here and have some like burning hate in my heart for Pat Mahomes. He beat us in the Super Bowl. Yeah. But I mean, someone had to win that game. We had to go up against somebody. And I don't think, I think Pat Mahomes is one of the greats, and we're watching him become that before our eyes. And like, just like all the people that I think are LeBron haters are kind of silly, because I'm just like, just appreciate greatness while it's in front of you. Like, it's just what it is. So I don't have any problem with
Pat Mahomes continuing to build on his legacy, especially because I don't want the Niners to build on their legacy at all. Like Brock Purdy, all that. There's no one likable on that team. I can get behind Uncle Andy. I don't have any disdain in my heart for Pat Mahomes. I'd be fine with it.
Besides Pat, I'm rooting for everybody else. I'm a Pat hater. I don't like that.
What?
Yeah, but you know, there is a quarterback needed to play the game, and you know, I get it. It's him. Yeah, not gonna get into details on what bothers me about Pat, but I'm just not a Pat fan. So it is what it is. But you know, I mean, I'm definitely rooting for the Chiefs because you know I'm with you, Evan. I don't want these 49ers to win, man.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we have a choice we have to make, and you know, I'm gonna go with you know, Uncle Andy and his squad to go ahead and win another one and just enjoy this rock.
So it's a trinity on the Andy Reid coaching, former coach love. I get it. Uncle Andy is Uncle Andy, but in terms of Mahomes, hey man, we're witnessing Spags. Yeah. But we're witnessing greatness with Mahomes. Like, I don't like, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's great quarterback play. That's what you like to see. That's what the NFL is really about. The quarterback play has been tremendous. I think, and my other thing about, you know, we beat the Chiefs. The Eagles beat the Chiefs. We were there in the cold rain. We saw them win the game. We also lost to the 49ers. So obviously we're going to root against them, but just in the level of playoff performance and bringing your game to a next level, I respect the Chiefs for like actually elevating their game as the playoffs progressed. And that's what you like to see. Like, my whole thing about, you know, when I try to think about the Eagles, I'm like, which player is going to be the big time player that makes big time plays consistently to get us to the next level? And I think you see some of their guys, their big money guys, come up big. So I got a hat tip them for that.
I also, I'm not sure if you guys had the same sort of PTSD that I had the other day, but when Sky Moore got activated off the IR, I had a little shot in my heart thinking about that that pre-snap motion touchdown that he had versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Because I a little bit of background, I, in the beginning of last season, drafted Sky Moore as like a flyer pick in my fantasy football league. He didn't do jack shit all year, and then my man scores against the Eagles at a pivotal point. I was like,
typical, man.
Sky Moore. but yeah, I'm not sure if you guys heard. I see people already talking about the Taylor Swift angle, but do you hear that they have they've left one private jet hangar available? They're all of them are taken right now in Vegas at the Vegas airport. However, they left one open in the event that Taylor Swift can make it. Tell me this is royal family bullshit, bro.
Supposedly she's ahead in the future doing a concert, and then she's coming back into time to be back.
She's gonna be in like Japan or some shit, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's got a concert in Japan, then she's got to be back for the Super Bowl.
She'll be there.
Yeah. She will.
But like some of those, like some of the people, I think Helene was talking about Usher. Usher is another rooting point. If you can get down, you Usher, you guys Usher.
I'm down. Listen, man, I'm down, bro. Usher,
you got your roller skates on. You
know, slide another, into the room. Another note. I got, you know what I mean, I got kids because of Usher.
This guy with the candles and Usher. Okay, I like that. Sean says, Gail, since being down at the Senior Bowl, what linebackers are we getting? I think we're gonna end up getting a day three linebacker, and then we're gonna get a free agent linebacker to add to the mix. I think so. Let's see. Other storylines. This could be the first time a team wins back to back in 19 years.
Yeah.
19 years. That's a long, I, cause you think the Chiefs, in my head, I thought they won back to back, but they did not.
No, they did.
No, but, I mean, that kind of speaks to what I was saying earlier about like, comparing Pat Mahomes to Brady in an earlier kind of aspect. Cause I mean, who was that quarterback that went back to back the last time? It's Tommy B, bro. So He's kind of – how many times has Pat Mahomes been to the Super Bowl? He's only been in the league for, like, what, 6 years?
I'm just saying,
it's like his third time he's in the Super Bowl.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
Like this is greatness. Like, we're watching it. Like,
third? I thought this was – I think this is his
– yeah, it might be his fourth time.
He lost fifth, one.
Honestly.
Yeah. He won two. He lost one. And this is his fourth one.
All right, so four.
Yeah.
That's greatness.
And the first one was against the Patriots? Or was it against San Fran? No, I mean, he had the AFC championship. I'm sorry, the AFC championship against the Patriots to get to his first Super Bowl. That's what it was. And that's when they did the comparison between him and Tom Brady. Yep.
He lost to the Bucs, right?
Was it that Super Bowl?
Yeah. Tampa Bay. He still found a way to lose to Brady, just not the Pats. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mr. Rome says, I won't lie, guys, an Eagles tailgate in Brazil would probably require some kind of NDA to sign. I'll gladly sign it.
it's gonna be a serious procedure just to get into that trip, you know what I mean, like paperwork, all that stuff, like, you know what I mean. So if y'all go,
you gotta get a visa and a passport.
Yeah, it's just not passports, you know what I mean, it's just like background. I don't know, man. I've never really been out of the island, like out of the country like that. So I mean,
you almost just called the U.S. an island.
I guess somebody like, you know, like our sis Helena, you know what I mean, she could chime in, she could tell us what it's like. I don't know, man, but I hear it's a process, you know what I mean. So
my brother went to Brazil.
Yeah,
he had a great time. He said he loved it. His pictures, I'm phenomenal.
Sure, I'm sure Dwayne had a good time in Brazil.
He did. You should see his photos. They're pretty amazing. He went around the time like when Pharrell came out with that beautiful song with Snoop Dogg. I was like, bro. And he went to the steps, took a photo in front of the steps, so that shot that video. I was like, don't rub it in. Don't rub it in. Now, Paul asked this question. Did the Chiefs really up their game, or was it more one team decided to choke against them?
Well, there was two teams that actually choked, because, I mean, if you really think about it, these guys would have played their game the way they should have and finished off strong. It could have been Detroit and Baltimore in the Super Bowl right now. But, I mean,
I'm not trying to completely glaze on my man Pat, but let's be real here. I think it's just an it factor type thing. I think that, like, when you have a it factor type QB, he carries you to victory. And that's, I mean, we've seen it with Pat Mahomes, as far as like he ends up losing Tyreek Hill and his best wide receiver, arguably the best wide receiver in the league. And he ended up putting up a career year the year after that. And now, you know, another year after that, he's back in the Super Bowl and he's doing it with subpar, wide receivers. Obviously he's got a Hall of Fame tight end, one of the best tight ends ever.
Did you guys see that somebody stated that when Kansas City wins on Sunday, Travis is going to the 50-yard line and getting on a knee?
Proposing that. Yeah, that would be – come on. I mean, talking about from a love story, epic, that's getting – but then you're –
it's saying a damn Disney movie. I know. All that.
But because then you're making it more about you than the team.
Yeah.
So –
but I'm sure Taylor Swift would love that, and her PR group would probably love that.
What?
Taylor Swift. I'm like, are you?
It is what Taylor it is. Swift out. Yeah.
There's Taylor Swift conspiracy theory. It's running rampant on the internet.
I was cracking up at. I saw something a week or two ago that was talking about. Someone online was suggesting if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, should Taylor Swift get a Super Bowl ring? And there was just some Chiefs fan in the comments. He's like, I've been a season ticket holder for 22 years. How about I get a fucking ring?
That'd be some shit though, man.
Yo, I think Pat Mahomes deserves a ring dealing with all his family has caused. They've done is so much. You know, they've done everything to try to embarrass this dude over the last couple of years, whether it's his brother, his wife, and his dad got arrested recently.
Yeah,
is crazy. And then some reporters like, oh, how did you feel about that? What do you have?
Obviously, Not happy. My dad got arrested. Also, you guys see the speaking of Brittany Mahomes, she was also in the news for she got selected for the swimsuit edition, Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. I'm not sure if you saw that, Gail.
I thought Sports Illustrated was going out of business.
I thought so too.
Well, now's the time.
But she got selected for the swimsuit edition.
Yeah, she got selected after it went out of business.
I'm going to say something that might upset some people, but I think she fits in there pretty well. I think she found.
Why did I see that? I saw that coming.
I was like, all right. I'm sorry, Pat Mahomes. I was unfamiliar with your game.
Oh, geez.
Stop.
So our Super Bowl predictions. I'll go with you at first. Your prediction, score prediction.
So honestly, I think it is going to be I think it's going to be a close game. I'm gonna say 28. No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna say 27-21. Chiefs win.
Okay, 20-21 Chiefs.
27-21, pal.
27-21 Chiefs. Atlanta's 27-16 Chiefs. Paul from the other side of the pond is 24-49ers 27. What say you?
I'm gonna go 27-14. I think you know it's gonna be real tight going into the second half, and then I think Spags is gonna go ahead and make the adjustments like he did against Baltimore. So yeah. I think, you know, they're going to give them a game. They're going to give the fans what they want first half. And then the second half, you know, I mean, it's going to be something totally different. So we'll see.
Pete Nathan chimes in 32-29 Chiefs. I'm going to go, I'm going to say 31-27 Chiefs.
And, so unrelated, but and I hate to be the person that brings this stuff up because, like, whenever people bring up the commercials, I always just kind of sit here and roll my eyes. But I have to ask you guys a question. Do you think it's weird that nowadays, like, they're starting to release the Super Bowl commercials prior to the actual Super Bowl?
They've been doing it. They've been doing it for years.
Why are they doing that? Like, the whole point of it being a Super Bowl commercial is it debuts during the Super Bowl. Am I wrong about that?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think it's dumb.
Mr. Cross says,
I don't know if it's because of the window span, how much time they got, how many people are trying to get on to it.
They're trying to get maximum views.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to get views, but like, I don't know. I think that the whole point of it being a
Super Bowl, I always look forward to commercials. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I want one. I mean, there's been a couple, like last year there was one that hurt my stomach. I can't remember what it was, but there was a couple good ones. The Dorito one is always the classic one from years ago.
Yeah.
With Dorito's the baby
as well. Yeah, I know. It always ends up being some feel good type one, but everyone always ends up liking the Budweiser ones as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, they'll put a fucking dog or a Clydesdale in there.
Lovely if they brought the Bud Bull back. You know what I mean? But we've been wanting that for decades now.
Yeah, I just for I do work for Paramount, CBS Paramount. You could actually watch the Nickelodeon version with the slot that could be kind of cool if you're getting bored.
Yeah. I might watch that with the kids in the other room.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
Company plug. Company plug.
I'll do that. I got you.
Do you know who's on that broadcast? Is it anyone of significance, or do they have like Nickelodeon people?
I think Nate Burleson is definitely one because he's okay. Associated with the Nickelodeon.
I'm one of the kids that's on that show. Yeah.
I saw, isn't the sideline reporter that does that like some young kid?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that though, from that perspective, to be as young as he is, and you're essentially a sideline reporter for the Super Bowl. Like that's pretty awesome to have on his resume.
The Rock, as of lately, has been buying ownership to lots of things lately. Maybe he might make an appearance.
He's a competing league, isn't he? Doesn't he own the UFL or the USFL or something?
Yeah, what something like that. Well, he actually met Melata down at Meteor Row today, and Melata made him look a little small, but that's understandable.
Should have got on that stage with him yesterday.
Yeah, he was late.
Now, Paul had asked, will we get a Super Bowl MVP non-QB this year?
No.
No?
No. I think that if either team wins, they'll maybe if the Niners win, because Brock Purdy, to me, to just be a complete hater, like, I think that he's carried by a bunch of yak guys, like Debo Samuel, CMC, Brandon Ayuk. They're all guys that can get crazy numbers in yards after reception. So I could see potentially if the Niners win, we could have a CMC MVP for sure. And he's been unbelievable. Like this past couple seasons, as long as he's been on San Fran, he's been incredible.
I've been waiting for him to break down. He hasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that agree?
Dude, he scores at least one touchdown every game.
Well, like he doesn't miss. For that being said, I mean, there's a possibility that, you know, Travis could be an MVP with all the catches he makes. You know what I mean? And
I just think if the I'm not
crazy catches he's been making. Yeah, I mean, sure. Just saying.
Well, I mean, talking about crazy, speaking of crazy, Kevin talks about the 49ers players that keep talking about Philadelphia at Media Row. They got a weird obsession. It's bordering on stage 5 clinger, Kevin said.
Bordering. It's not bordering. It's already on a stage 5 clinger.
Like Debo talking about it's not a rival. Meanwhile, we've blown them out. They've blown us out. We had a tight loss, and they had a tight loss as well. So it's there. Some people, shout out to Filthy in Philly, they are calling them the Red Cowboys. But speaking of quarterbacks, you guys want to – I got some little nuggets that are owned – actual team in their scouting reports of each quarterback. Would you want to know what the Eagles actually scouting report of Mahomes is?
Dropping I would on. Love to.
Okay, the strengths they say of said quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, FBI. That means football intelligence, arm strength, accuracy, field vision, anticipation. He extends plays off schedule and mobility. His weaknesses, he's got two. Could you name two weaknesses that the Eagles think he has?
His brother and his wife.
I was trying to think of an honest answer, and I really don't know. Well, maybe against the blitz.
His walk.
They said height.
Isn't he like 6'4"?
No, I think he's they said height and forces throws.
I don't know. Yeah, I think he's a pretty accurate and strong armed QB personally. But
now we're gonna go with Brock Purdy, who's had a legendary season. If you're a 49ers fan, I think he's done his job. But I think with all due respect, he's got his team there. He's made some phenomenal plays. Football gods have been looking out as well, but they did for Nick Foles as well. So, you know.
We're big believers in as long as everybody does their job. Brock Purdy did his job, man.
So the strengths that the Eagles, this is the actual Eagles, their breakdown of Brock Purdy, they say his strengths, he's smart. He's got moxie. They like his release, his timing. He throws with anticipation. Touch, accuracy, they like his poise, and decision-making. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 weaknesses.
What is Moxie defined as?
He's got some grit.
Okay.
To his game. He's got some swagger.
Okay.
His weaknesses: size, top arm talent,
UCL.
They said his throws, something throws, driving throws, and dynamic scrambling. That is his weakness.
Dynamic scrambling. Okay. Yeah, I think that arm strength is something that I would kind of look. I think that Brock Purdy's been carried by Yak. So I think he's been doing a lot of dinking and dunking this year. And it's worked. I mean, Kyle Shanahan draws up a good offense that is perfect for what Brock Purdy does. But if he, in the event that he does need to go deep, I don't think that that's one of Brock's strong suits.
Marissa talks about the Niners getting their karma because now they're experiencing the field and hotel noise. someone pulled the alarm at the 49ers hotel. And then Nick Bosa, who also hates the Black Panther, just letting you guys know that. So let him know about that movie. He said in Philadelphia, they were working on a bridge outside their hotel, and it kept them up all night long.
Dude's a bozo. I say that as not one of the best edge rushers in the entire NFL.
Him and his brother are clowns, man.
Speaking as a football player, I never really call guys dumb jocks, but if you were to call a guy a dumb jock,
it's Nick Bosa. It's a total pet peeve thing for me, but I just hate the way he talks too. Like he's so nonchalant about everything. Be more chalant.
He's the kind of kid like, Mom, we ran out of cereal. Like he's that dude. Anyway, do you want to move along to the coaches that we've added in here recently? You want to talk about some coaches? Talk about our team, not the 49ers or the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've all heard about Vic Fangio, who was in the building a long time ago. This is when we had Gannon. Our own Hollis Thomas was the first person to say that Vic Fangio was in the building. Alarms, alerts. And saying that how they mentioned when they talked to him as Coach Fangio, not just Vic Fangio's here, Coach Fangio. So I compared Fangio's defense and Desai's defense as to if you've seen Coming to America, McDonald's and McDowell's. So we have McDowell's now. We have McDonald's now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to want to run the defense, better get the guy that runs the actual defense versus the disciple. How you guys feeling about Vic Fangio?
I mean, I'm happy. It's one of those things that like it feels like it's a year too late, in a literal sense. Mm-hmm. I would have liked him last year. I would have liked to see what we're dealing with as far as Vic Fangio, heading into this year. But at least he's familiar. At least he's a guy that is familiar in this system. You know, he was just here last year in a consulting role. So I'm happy about that. I think he puts together a good defensive scheme. And to be honest with you, the one thing I've been saying is I'm kind of anti just youth movement for the sake of youth movement. I wanted a coordinator or two in here that actually has decades of experience, exactly like Vic Fangio. I was sick of, because I kept on saying that this Eagles roster is built roster-wise, is built to win now. We have the talent on this team to win now. And I feel like we were kind of doing ourselves a disservice and having coordinators that were essentially learning on the job. And Vic Fangio is not a guy that needs to learn on the job. He's a guy that at one point was a head coach, at many points was a coordinator. So I'm thinking that he'll be able to get this defense right.
Yeah, Fangio was definitely on our radar way before Desai even got picked up. But, you know, due to some slight coaching changes and then last-minute decisions, you know what I mean, that didn't go our way, and he ended up getting picked up by the Dolphins. A lot of comparison as of lately on how he ran that defense compared to this defense. The only thing I can just say is Dolphins are Dolphin players and the Eagles are Eagles players. I mean, he was a mentor or, you know, helping out that year with Gannon, and I think he had a lot more than just helping out involved. They just weren't able to go ahead and seal the deal with keeping him long term. But, you know, that record season that we had with that defense had a lot to do with him, I really feel. And so the fact that we're bringing him back as our actual defensive coordinator, I'm all about it. You're right, Ev, it's a year too late. But, hey, listen, I mean, it is what it is. Now we got him. Now let's, you know, ready to get back to work. And, you know, with the experience that he has, it's definitely what we need. That whole going young mentality didn't work out for us. Need to kick that one off the playbook and move on to, you know, sticking to people that
got that some wrinkles on their face. I'm in.
Yeah, and that are in here knowing what the hell they're doing. So, you know, I'm all for Fangio, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about Fangio. At least he's a guy that was in the locker room and knows, you know, the dynamic of you know, the personnel. I think it's going to be.
Bring Todd's comment up.
I was going to say I'm confident that with Vic Fangio, I'm not going to see Reddick dropping into coverage on the first play. He's going to be
right
utilizing our players' strengths.
He utilized Reddick when he was here, so he's going to utilize him again. Reddick is going to go ahead and eat. He's not going to eat. He's been eating. He's going to go back to just eating the way he's been eating.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if Hassan's going to want to get paid first. I'm wondering. Also bringing up our offensive coordinator. I actually spoke with Clarence Hill, the beat writer that you see on Twitter. Sometimes you ruffle some feathers here. Cool guy. Clarence Hill has been a beat writer for the Cowboys for a long time. Mm-hmm. Talked about Kellen Moore. I said, what do you, I mean, you know all about Kellen Moore. I was like, he's like, well, at least he's going to fix your intermediate passing. He said he might not run as much as you guys like, but I think with what you guys are dealing with, he feels like it's a good fit. But Kellen Moore, he still looks like he's could be in high school. But, you know,
baby face.
He's the quarterback's coach for the Cowboys in 2018, 2019 to 2022. Offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Last year, he was the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. And now he's
definitely been in some high-powered offense. That's for sure. I just want to throw out there, too. I've already seen people complaining on Twitter, surprise, surprise, about what if Kellen Moore does really well and he's going to be next in line for a coaching job? And like, can we worry about that problem when we get to it, bro? Like, I just want a good offensive coordinator. Need to worry about, like, you know, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, we got to think about another offensive coordinator. How about we do the first thing first and then we'll worry about the second?
Right.
I don't know. I think Kellen Moore, he's shown that he is, you know, effective in these offenses. The only thing that kind of is weird to me, it's similar to Eric Bieniemy in a way. And like, why isn't this guy, why does he keep on making lateral moves? Why isn't he getting that opportunity as a head coach? It's just one thing that kind of sticks out in my mind. Because he's going to now his third straight offensive coordinator job.
I get that, Evan. I really do. And I had this conversation with one of my coworkers this past week. I truthfully just don't see everybody as a coach, that as a fit for a head coach, a coordinator. Indeed, like, look, I'm really surprised Washington went with Quinn. Honestly, bro, I'm really surprised that Washington went with Quinn. I'm surprised that he didn't get re-signed by the Cowboys. And, you know, I don't feel that Dan Quinn is a head coach, man. I think he's a great defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He really is. And, you know, got to give respect where respect is, you know, need to be given. And Cowboys did their thing as a defense. You know, hate to admit it, but it's the truth. You got to, you know, and he had a lot to do with it. You know, besides my brother, there's other Cowboy fans that were just frustrated on his play calling that last game of the season. And, you know, I don't know, there might have been a whole lot more to it. You know, might have been upset about some things that, like, we were dealing with in the locker room. I don't know, but not our problem. But now he moved on to Washington. They're all excited about it. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't be surprised if they just keep going down the road that they've been going. And that's just having that awful season because he's just not fit to be a head coach. And I just feel like, you know, somebody like Moore and Eric, I don't know. I don't know the whole story behind Eric B's part, but Moore, I don't know. I think he's good as an OC, and that's where he needs to stick at. Same thing with Staley. You really feel like he could be a head coach? Honestly.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's a good secondary coach, but I don't know about as a head coach.
And it's just a question I'm asking, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, hey, if he gets offered, he gets offered. But, you know, when he gets exposed, don't be surprised. You know, where like I said, he just is more of a fit as a coordinator than an actual head coach. I
mean, so
same thing for Kingsbury. I mean, like, look, you know, another one that had a head coaching job position, but, you know, the guy's killing it as a coordinator.
I mean, it's a musical chairs.
As a husband, too. I'm not sure if you saw his wife.
Because a lot of these guys are like, you know, Kellen Moore, he's on to the Eagles now as offensive coordinator. Bieniemy's off to his third team. Now we have Brian Johnson, who's off to the Commanders under the same similar role.
First of all, I absolutely love how that played out because, like, I mean, we were sitting here a couple weeks ago just – baffled that there was people that were saying that Brian Johnson was getting head coaching interviews. I'm like, who the hell was watching the Eagles this year and said, you know what, that's the guy I want as the head coach of my team? And so for him to not even land, like, I'm not trying to talk shit on the man, you know,
yeah,
but for him to go from I'm getting head coaching interviews to like not even a coordinator, I was kind of sitting there like, yeah, that's kind of what his job should be. He should have got a demotion, not a promotion.
Well, I mean, he's an offensive coordinator, right? With the Commanders, right?
I thought he wasn't an offensive coordinator. I thought he was like passing game coordinator or something like that.
Is he?
I might be wrong, but I didn't think he got OC.
Just want to make sure I got that right. Hired prominent off staff role.
Yeah, that's not OC.
Yeah, we'll see. That's interesting. I just think, but I do feel like a lot of players are like, yo, he got scapegoated. And I feel like that's going to burn in some of these players' hearts when shit went down and like he got the bad end of the stick.
Did he get scapegoated though? I mean,
that's what some people are saying.
That's fair. I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but the way that I kind of look at it is like we had an offense that was on a roll and we were being carried by talent. And then eventually we got found out and there was zero adjustments made. And we just kind of banged our heads up against the wall for a month and a half on the back end of the season. And to me, that somewhat falls on him too. So
yeah, I just feel like
what you said about Kellen Moore has me a little uneasy though. Talking about like, I'm excited for Kellen Moore, but you saying that Clarence Hill saying that we're not going to run as much as we want. Dude, can we just get like, can we utilize our strengths here? We got a good offensive line. We got a good running back.
We might have some more run the ball signs this year. I can forecast that.
Let's just get there, man. That's all.
But I'm wondering, like, you know, we got DeAndre Swift out there on the bubble. If he comes back or not, will he play an offense where the focus on the run isn't as heavy when he's trying to, you know, get another paycheck out there? But we'll see. It'll be interesting. But other guys that were brought in, you know, well, just talk in general. This is the, fourth offense that Jalen Hurts has played in?
I just want to address Pete's comment here. I think Justin Herbert is one of the biggest frauds in the league. I just got to be real with you. I think he is a flimsy fraud. He puts up big numbers because he's got guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. And so, yeah, he's got big receiver targets to throw to. I think he completely folds under pressure, man. Yeah. I would not want him to be my quarterback.
Put it this way, Pete, you're Justin and I'm Kellen Moore. That's like me coming to you and telling you now how to cook. You ain't going to want to hear it. You know what I mean? So that's how it is. All right. That's how it is.
I wouldn't call Herbert a fraud. That I wouldn't.
Would you, where would you rank him as far as,
I think he's a good quarterback.
Top 10 QB in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think, again, I think that clutch gene is real, man.
He ain't got it.
Some players have it. Some players don't.
Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Brock Purdy as your quarterback?
To be honest with you,
that's a tough one.
I take Herbert over Purdy.
I don't know. Like Herbert has a bigger arm. I think he can get the ball downfield better, but I think decision making wise, I think I would take Purdy.
I mean, Purdy's got a phenomenal system around him and a better offensive coordinator. I think my thing is that you put a quarterback in a situation where it's a volatile situation, offensive coordinator wise. If you put him in that system, it's not just on the player's talents, it's what the offensive coordinator is calling for you. So I think if you gave Shanahan Herbert, I think you'd see a different beast.
Fair, in him. Fair.
So talking about quarterbacks, our new QB coach, Doug Nussmeier. He's got a resume there.
Dang.
He's got a resume there. Last two gigs, he was a quarterback's coach, Chargers as of late. QB's coach in Cowboys in 2020 to 2022. He was the tight ends coach for the Cowboys 2018 to 2019. He had a little run with college for a bit. He was Alabama in 2012 to 2013 as offensive coordinator. Michigan offensive coordinator, QB's coach. Florida to 2015 to 2017. He's got a resume, but Jalen's got a new QB coach.
Yeah. What's your guys' thoughts on – I mean, I don't know much about him. You just listed off the resume. I don't know much about him, but what's your guys' thoughts on overall just the constant turnover within the coaching staff year after year? Do you think that we are kind of stunting Jalen Hurts or anybody on this team as far as development with not having a consistent coaching staff from year to year?
I mean, isn't this something that we kind of like worry about when we have the good years that we have, that, you know, like you said, some of these coordinators or some of these coaches get offered a higher position and, you know, you got to respect that. So it's like, what do you want? Do you want to go ahead and have that great year, but knowing you're going to probably end up losing that coaching staff the next season? Or do you want to have a terrible year just so you can go ahead and keep that guy around? I mean, that's just where we're at.
Yeah. I first of all, I just got to say right here, David Bergner with just the pull of a lifetime comparing Herbert to Bobby Abreu, the Bobby Abreu of football. Yo, he won that home run derby though. He set that record in the home run derby.
Mr. Cross says Herbert lost 80% of his offense due to injury. Of course, he wouldn't look good throwing the guys off the street.
I think everybody's just trying to have this conversation with Pete because Pete's the only one, negative one.
Like, Pete, it's February. Dog, come on. let's have some faith.
Hey, man, we wanted fresh new ideas. We're going to get it. So, I mean, I like that.
Pete, at the very least, is Kellen Moore a step up from Brian Johnson? That's what we should compare it to. And I think it is. So,
well, going to the defensive side of the ball, we have Clint Hurt, who's got the Seattle ties. He's got a little resume. He was FIU in 2005 as defensive line coach. Then he hit Miami for 3 years, Louisville, and then went to the Chicago Bears in 2014 as assistant defensive line coach, outside linebackers coach with the Bears from 2015 to 2016. And then he was the Seattle Seahawks assistant head coach and defensive line coach. And then he was the defensive coordinator with the Seahawks 2022 to 2023. He was part of that defense that stopped the Eagles. Interesting.
And at the very least, I'm not sure if you saw the full body shot of Clint Hurt. But in the event that someone goes down, I think we could plug and play with Clint Hurt.
Or if McDonald's needed a Grimace stand-in.
You're doing them dirty.
Wide body, man. I thought Hollis was wide, but I think Clint got him beat. Shout out to Hollis, who is out on media row at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So he's walking around with his shades, getting his flowers thrown on. I like that.
Getting the sexy on.
Yeah.
As he would say.
Christian Parker, a defensive backs coach from the Broncos. His resume here. Let's see what this excites. He coached with college for a bit. He was a defensive backs coach with Virginia State, Norfolk State. He was a defensive analyst with Notre Dame in 2017, defensive analyst with Texas A&M. He was the Green Bay Packers defensive and quality control coach 2019 to 2020, and then Denver Broncos defensive backs coach from 2021 to 2023.
You guys noticing anything interesting about that? I mean, there have been some trade proposals I've seen out on the timeline, and I forget the defensive backs coach from Denver and this guy that keeps on getting linked to the Eagles.
Pete's been sending me Patrick Surtain to it. Trades for like last couple hours.
Of course he has.
I was like, why? My thing is, why do they want to get rid of Patrick Surtain?
Yeah.
I'm all about the PS2 trade, you know what I mean? But the fact that he mentioned Reddick being involved.
Yeah, what you'd have to give up, man. Like a first and Reddick and more, like that's not a lot, man. That's not a Reddick. Lot.
Not we also have Joe Casper. He was recently with Miami, but he was with the Eagles, let's see, recently, 2021 and 2022, defensive quality control coach. He was a safety coach last year with the Dolphins with Fangio. And before that, you know, he had some stints as player personnel and development assistants, defensive backs coach. So I think if you're looking at the flavors here, there's a lot of Fangio's picking his career, which is good.
I don't want it to be overlooked too that Blankenship to some goes by Ghost, and we just got Casper as the safeties head coach. So hey,
what if we brought Justin Simmons in?
Does he have a play on his name that involves spirits?
No.
Okay.
No. So the last but not least, but Bobby King, which was recently picked up. It's our linebackers coach. He's got experience. There's a little Cowboy stink on some of these coaches, but, you know, he's a Cowboys assistant linebackers coach. Most recently, he was with the Texans for the last 3 or 4 years as a linebackers coach. And then he was defensive line coach with the Texans 2021 and 2022. Through 2023, he was with the Titans as the inside linebackers coach. So we talked about all these coaches need to go, and we have a lot of new coaches in the building. I mean, are you feeling what they're cooking right now?
No, I gotta see what this roster is gonna look like in a few months. I mean, I'm gonna have a better feeling about this team come May after the draft, but.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, Gail, me and Prime, I'm not sure if you've talked to Prime, but haven't talked to you much since your trip down to the Senior Bowl, man. What any insights to share?
Senior Bowl was awesome, man. We had a good time. We just the whole randomness of the Senior Bowl.
Had a shit ton of crawfish.
Oh, crawfish was amazing.
Yeah.
Spices were on fire. Okay. Like my thing is, like, if you guys go to the Senior Bowl, it's more about the food than actual being down there. Mm-hmm. Food is almost as good as the Senior Bowl. But the opportunities you get to meet all these people in the industry, it's like out of all the events, I think it's a laid back atmosphere where you're at the bar and Ian Rappaport is like right next to you and like, hey, Ian, you got any tips for me? Or you know, all the newsbreakers all in the same bar at the same time. It's very rare.
Do you ever get tempted? Like they put their phone down on the bar or something like that, and you just like tweet out some crazy shit from their account, like Jalen Hurts just got traded, fucking Rap Sheet official.
I just be listening. I definitely be listening. Yeah. We ran into some people's favorite wide receiver.
T.O.
is a star out there. Shout out to Tim, man. Tim was holding down. Got some of his first interviews. Getting interviews is probably the most difficult thing. They have like 300 media members lined up. They give you 10 minutes, and then they put the players on the field. And they put you all from the 30-yard line to the goal line. And you can't get past certain – they have like state troopers blocking you. So everyone's fighting for interviews.
So last year I remember some of your favorites. Tajay Spears, I believe, was one of your favorites.
Sidney Brown.
Sidney Brown. Who sticks out to you this year?
I was looking at the wide receivers. I think our wide receiver three is down there. Ladd McConkey from Georgia was tremendous. Ricky Pearsall from Florida, also tremendous. Quinyon Mitchell, first round potential corner.
Wow, Rack Shack is right as soon as you said it.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell has made a lot of money down there. Roman Wilson from Michigan Wolverines also couldn't be covered. They're the one guy that was a small school standout running back from New Hampshire, Dylan Lobby. You're talking about New Hampshire. He couldn't be covered. He's like the next Danny Woodhead meets Brian Westbrook. I'm not going to say he's Brian Westbrook, but light version.
You're saying Danny Woodhead for a reason.
Those skill, he was beating cornerbacks in space.
Right. Okay.
No linebackers could cover him. USC running back from Marshawn Lloyd from Wilmington, Delaware. He was awesome. He was a great interview. And then
SoCal or South Carolina?
Yeah, he played at South Carolina, transferred to USC last year.
So he played at both USCs. What a
yeah.
guy.
And all those guys spoke with the Eagles. And then Tyler Guyton, the guy who was mocked to the Eagles in Daniel Jeremiah's first mock. He said that Lane Johnson is his mentor.
Wow.
So he says he talks to him on the phone all the time. And it's interesting. I know people are like, don't mock us another lineman in the first round ever again. But there's a lot of talent.
I gotta be honest. I'm looking at just kind of Lane Johnson and all that. And I think that a tackle wouldn't be the worst thing.
Yeah. If he went first round tackle. It's probably that time. Yeah, it's probably that time.
But while we're on the topic of Lane Johnson, just your guys' thoughts on the core four. Who do you think comes back?
Core four. It's. I mean, some of the talk with Fletcher Cox, it just seems like he might potentially be done.
Yeah,
it's just kind of.
Yeah, I think he's more done than Kelsey. I think Kelsey and Graham are probably going to come back. I think
Johnson's Fletcher's definitely back. Coming back. You don't think?
Yeah, Lane Johnson.
Yeah.
Lane's still got a couple more. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think there's this guy JPJ from Oregon, Jackson Power Johnson, 334 pounds, plays center and guard. Like, that's what your guard should look like, 334 pounds.
Yeah.
Versus Cam at 301, who got beat up this year. I think. It's
funny to see Kool-Aid being mocked so high just because I've been seeing his name just because it's his name for years now. And I remember like when he first popped onto the scene, people were sharing him because his name is Kool-Aid. Like that's something that's like, kind of you raise an eye to. And now he's getting mocked like top 15. So he's a player, man.
And I can't tell you who told me this, but very prominent in laying the land of the draft boards. He knows the lay of the draft. He told us that Kool-Aid couldn't run.
Can't run.
Wow. Yeah, he's not. He can't run the way that.
He could run through walls, though. Oh, yeah.
I was like, what's that supposed to mean? He's like, oh, you didn't hear it from me. But where I got it from was pretty. And then I also asked about Nate Wiggins from Clemson. If we're trying to go cornerback, shout out to Mark. He was giving me the Oregon guys. He gave me the lay of the lands of some of the guys that he liked. And then on my plane was the guy he was texting me about. And I said, What does Evan Williams look like from Oregon? He's like, he is on my plane. He's sitting right in front of me.
That's strong for the Evan brand. I love that.
You know, safety is a thing, you know.
Cooper DeJean.
The unicorn.
The unicorn.
The next. You got, have you guys Seahorn? Have you guys watched them yet?
Minimal. Not much. Yeah.
It's weird.
Not ready.
Not ready. Not ready yet.
What, when, when are we doing the first mock? Is that next show? Is that
I think I need some time.
Yeah. That's fair.
I think I definitely hey, there's some
with y'all fucking mocks.
There's definitely some talent. I think the Eagles can fix a lot of things. I think they can get their wide receiver three, maybe get a running back of the future.
Let Pete run the first mock.
We'll see. We'll see about that.
What time does day two start on Friday? Because I know the first day is what, 7, 8 o'clock, right?
Of the draft?
Yeah.
First day is Thursday.
Yeah, first day is Thursday. It starts at like 7, 8 o'clock. I'm saying what time does
Friday start? I think
it starts the same time on Friday. And then it goes to an earlier time on Saturday. So
I'm a 9-to-5 guy now. So don't gotta worry about the PTO on that one.
You change your hours?
Evan
I'm
is a
9-to-5 guy now. I'm a new man.
Evan is a new guy right now.
Yep. As since this when? Week, like this week.
Well, that's huge.
Huge.
And now he's like, he's trying to quit on the live stream.
Yeah, I know. I still hate it. But
just so you guys didn't know, breaking news, 2-week notice. Bam.
Mr. Nady, the most well-traveled Eagle fan in the country. He says, are you guys coming to the draft? I like to think so.
Where's Primo?
I'm in for.
Is it New Orleans? Where's it at?
Detroit. Deep dish pizza?
Wow. Back to Checkers?
Wow. Road trip?
Wow. I could be down.
Shout out to the one Cowboy fan in the comments. You know, even though you're on the opposite side of the field, you're here representing. You're here. So we appreciate you here.
Dallas owns the Sheagles. What are you doing this Sunday? You doing the same shit we're doing?
Yeah, we split this year. I don't want to talk about we split the year before that. So it is what it is.
Todd, I wish you best of luck in your next endeavor, my man.
See?
Oh, shit, Todd.
Shout out to Todd, man. Because he's been – if it wasn't for Todd –
yeah, Todd's been holding it down and looking us out, man. Appreciate Todd.
I wouldn't be staying in the most luxurious hotels. It was for Todd. Shout out to Todd.
Big time.
I sent him a John hoodie. He's gonna be repping the brand.
Love that.
Ev, were you watching the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I gotta go into work the next day early, so I'm probably not gonna get too crazy. But
what's early?
9 to 5?
I live an hour away from the office, bro.
I don't care. What's early, man? Okay, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock? I would love to go to work at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Well, what are you doing today, Prime? You Friday's off. That must be nice.
I'm watching the Super Bowl and I have to go to work early the next day. Early.
Well, like, I'm talking about like I'm not going crazy is what I'm saying. Fucking like I'm gonna guys, watch the game obviously.
For another 3 hours and he thought about I'm going to work early.
Yeah. I actually got a question from someone I know that asked me, are we tailgating the Super Bowl? I want you to go get your brains checked, pal.
Breaking news. We're not in it.
No, we're not. Yeah, not doing that. So I think this is weird because I have not made any plans for Super Bowl.
No?
Pete, that's where the draft is at. Detroit, man. All right.
Mom's spaghetti. You know?
Yeah, man. It's going to be an interesting weekend. Regardless, go Chiefs, I guess, man, you know.
Go Chiefs.
I hate the Niners, bro. I hate them so much.
Yeah, I do too, bro. I mean, if I was able to go ahead and just go to sleep on Sunday and wake up on Monday and whoever's the winner is the winner, that's what it is, man. That's just
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, we need to talk about something. While we're on the topic of Detroit, guys, what the fuck happened in that NFC Championship game? Talk about a collapse. Oh my God. That city can't go through any more heartache, dude. Jesus Christ.
I kept thinking about that guy, that fan we met out there. Not the one that we interviewed, but the other fan that was out.
That lived in West Virginia.
Well, he said he's been to like 40 games and he only seen like 5 wins.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this dude was riding high. He must have been riding.
I literally was just thinking about Detroit, period, man. Because, I mean, like, yeah, especially like my man that we met at Home Depot that day. And just like, you know, the hospitality they showed us when we went to the tailgate. You know, I kept it 100 with the dude. And I was like, look, that day I was like, I'm not a fan. But after today, I'm rooting for y'all, man. I'm rooting for y'all to do y'all thing. Because, you know, I mean, even though I'm not really a Campbell fan, but, you know, he's putting things together. And he did. And it's a shame, man. They had a great game plan. And they just, they just fell apart, man, away, bro. Man. That was crazy.
Because I got at Senior Bowl 2 years ago, we got a chance to, like, literally hang with the Lions coaching staff. And it was like one of his former teammates from the Cowboys. We met at a hotel and we ended up hanging out with him. And then we went to the Senior Bowl with him. And then he brought us down to the field. And it was like, and then later on, we were playing pool with the coaches at this other bar. And you got to see exactly what that coaching staff did. Like, even on the practices, it was super crazy at the end. He made this very competitive. Everybody was fired up, all the players. And I saw the other practice, which was way different, which was coached by the Jets. Totally different vibe. But what Campbell brought is a level of energy. And, you know, people were asking about, you know, at the very end, him going. I said, whatever Campbell did that other Lions coaches haven't done for the last 30 years, you have to respect what he's brought to the table to get them there, because they haven't been there. He's brought them the farthest that they've ever been. So he's obviously done something. And again, he didn't back off of his decision when they asked him about it. So
back on for it. That was dumb as hell. Dude, I would have Sirianni's head would have been on a spear.
What?
That fucking happened in Philadelphia.
They definitely would have been calling for that dude's head.
I would have been standing outside with those guys outside of NovaCare with the trash cans.
I think everybody would have, man. Yeah, had a trash can for every part of the body.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, big shout out to Philly Sports Trips again. Make sure you go check them out. They're promoting their Brazil trip. Yes, I said Brazil.
Yeah, they're in Vegas right now doing their thing too.
Yeah, Philly Sports Trips. And also True Fan Travel. Shout out to Conshohawk and Italian Bakery for all you do. Yeah, shout out to Bud Light for holding it down for all these years at our tailgates. Shout out to you guys. And shout out to Red Bull for always giving us wings. Last word before we get out of here, Ev.
Yeah, man, it was an interesting year, to say the least. The Eagles, we had all the hope in the world going into December, and then you know, things fell apart. That type of things happen. You know, the Eagles weren't the only one that collapsed. I just talked about Detroit. They had their own collapse. There's only two teams that can compete in the Super Bowl. And if we're being completely honest, like, I think the best two teams made it.
Talk about growth.
Hey, it is what it is, man. I think that both you can make the argument that Baltimore had a better year than the Chiefs. But ultimately, I just think that it's the Pat Mahomes factor, man. Like, anytime, as long as Pat Mahomes and Andy are still in Kansas City, that's going to be a team to beat in the AFC. So and the Niners, they never really missed the beat all year long. So I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but I really do think it's going to be a close game. And I do see a possibility where the Niners could potentially win it. I would hate it, but I think that it's going to be a good game. So, you know, we'll see you guys on the other side.
Last word, Primo.
Hey, listen, one more game and then it's back to reality. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to Sunday hurrying up, getting here and being over with. At this point, it is what it is. May the best team win. You know what I mean? Congratulations to both organizations, to the fan, to the fans, you know what I mean, that stuck it out with them, to the fake-ass fans that, you know what I mean, decided to show up all of a sudden because their teams are in the playoffs now or because they're in the Super Bowl, you know what I mean, whatever. But, you know, come Monday, it's a whole new year. So, you know what I mean, it's back to work for us, and that's the part I'm really looking forward to. So, you know what I mean, be safe this Sunday. Get your sleeping because, you know, for those that have to go into work early on Monday. good luck to everybody in their football pools and their bets and all that stuff. And, you know what I mean, make sure y'all get some good grubbing in, because I know I'm looking forward to that part. So.
Don't drink and drive.
Yeah, that too. Hey, Ev, I got to get up at 5:30 to drive to New York City.
Dude, this guy. Fuck that shit, bro.
This guy's talking about waking up early. What?
Fuck your. I have to go to work early.
I'm not discrediting what you're doing. I'm saying that fucking sucks. Is what I'm saying. Waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I gotta
stay in a hotel, stare at the wall for a day. It's good times. But I want to give a shout out to all the people in the comments again. Shout out to all you people that showed up to tailgates. Shout out to all you guys that book trips to Philly sports trips. Shout out to all you guys that just stay supporting and commenting and being a part of what we're doing over here.
Shout out Buddy Hield. Welcome to Philly. Let's go, Buddy Hield.
Hey, I'll let you know that I trade for Buddy Hield in my NBA 2K franchise last year.
Is he lethal with the three in NBA?
Oh, that's why I brought him. I'm for, you know, sign me up. But shout out to the Eagles, but I'm going to shout out the Chiefs. Get it done for Uncle Andy. Yeah. Let him retire. Send him off so they don't keep winning Super Bowls. Please. And just make that deal.
Deal.
Go Birds. We'll see you guys in the next one.